Devils Productions presents The Great Deep.
Hello and welcome to episode number 23 of The Great Deep. My name is Ryan Calder, your host for the show, and this podcast runs parallel to the music of The Great Deep album. For those who don't know, this Great Deep podcast series is basically an extension or further exploration of what the songs and some of the themes in the songs are about. Well, as this episode of the podcast is published, it is day 127 of lockdown in South Africa. And in case you hadn't noticed, many people around the country are having their resolve tested on multiple levels. I messaged a friend of mine who's also a seasoned psychologist just to see how he was doing. And his words were, "All good, thanks, although lockdown really sucks." And well, I think that's about as succinct as it gets. So let's recap for a minute, shall we? First, there was a global pandemic, COVID-19, and thereafter followed the great lockdown. Stay at home, you're not allowed to go anywhere. What was supposed to be 3 weeks became 5 weeks. Then, restrictions were eased and people were allowed to venture out again. After a while, alcohol was on sale again, schools started to phase their grades back, and the economy was trying to get up and running again. Then the healthcare system started taking strain because of all the trauma cases related to alcohol abuse, and hospital beds that were meant for COVID patients were occupied with booze injuries, so booze was banned. On top of that, we entered stage 2 of load shedding, just for fun, and then, where I live, the local dump caught fire, and so the whole city was immersed in toxic smog for a week, causing schools to close, the highway to shut down, and people to be stuck indoors again. As if that wasn't bad enough, the president announced last week that schools would again be closed, and the issue of corruption was going to be dealt with very harshly because fraudulent cases stealing relief funds from COVID-19 were affecting small businesses, workers, and families. On top of all of that, coronavirus cases are skyrocketing and the economy in the country is seriously struggling. I mean, a while ago, South Africa hit junk status, and that's starting to look appealing compared to now. Everywhere you look and read, it's basically all very depressing. This past week, I was chatting to a nurse who works locally in my city. And she was telling me how many suicides the hospital has had to deal with recently. All young people who just can't see a way forward for their lives at the moment. One such case was a 19-year-old who was in hospital after a failed suicide attempt. And I think that statistics are one thing when you read it in news reports and see media headlines. But when you hear that sort of account from someone in your own community and city, it hits home. My cousin, who lives in Johannesburg, was telling me how they are seeing a surge in suicide cases of people who have lost their small businesses and literally cannot grieve. It's like losing a spouse after investing all that emotional energy, only for it to be sunk in a period of months through no fault of their own. So I've blogged about all of this and I'll put it in the show notes, but I think that if we're honest, the reality for all of us at the moment is that this lockdown has been severely disruptive and tough. And for some, it really sucks. There's just no other way to say it. So the million-dollar question at the moment is, why is all this happening? I mean, not like, you know, how did the virus spread and that kind of thing, but on a sort of cosmic level, why are we going through what we are going through? Some people have likened COVID-19 to the biblical narrative of Noah and the flood, and others have said that it's God's judgment over our modern sinful ways. Well, I don't like either of those two thoughts, and I don't think they're accurate at all. The short answer is, I don't know. And actually, no one honestly knows. What I do know is that we are not alone in our questions. And we are not alone in whatever despair or sorrow we are feeling. Many around the world are struggling right now. And it's a mistake to think that we are alone. And on that note, here is this week's song titled Tea Bags for Tears.
And then she took me by the hand, lifted me upon dry land, and I had a look around as her words cut to my soul. There is hope, these are temporary woes, don't you know? This is how the story goes, and wherever you will roam, have this in your heart.
Some time ago, years in fact, I posted a question on my Facebook page, and the question was, song title suggestions? A bunch of comments came in, all of which I've written down in my lyrics book and I've been working on over time, and one suggestion was Tea Bags for Tears. So here it is, broken down.
The music.
I'm assuming most people understand my musical profile to basically be me and an acoustic guitar. So this is probably the default kind of singer-songwriter tune most would expect from that perspective. It's a lot more stripped down than most other songs on the album, and it really relies on the melody mostly.
The lyrics.
The lyrics.
I said the lyrics.
As I said, the song title came about from a Facebook page suggestion, and I love the idea. But it was one of those lines that literally just lay dormant for a long time. I talk about this in the blog, which I've linked in the show notes, but essentially there's a lot of life experience and other people's stories weaved into the song. Also, there's something incredibly calming about tea. Whether it's the tea itself or just the idea of tea, I don't actually know. What I do know is that I like pouring a cup of tea, sitting down and having a conversation with someone. Hang, I mean, even if there's no one, I like sitting down and having a conversation with myself while sipping on some tea. It's like the world slows down for a minute or two when there's a cup of tea involved, and the calmness of drinking tea restores some sort of order to an otherwise chaotic world.
Nugget of wisdom.
Let me ask that million-dollar question again. COVID-19, why? Why all the suffering? Here's an offering from James Martin, a Jesuit priest and author. He writes, "The overall confusion for believers is encapsulated in what is called the inconsistent triad, which can be summarized as follows. God is all-powerful, therefore God can prevent suffering, but God does not prevent suffering. In the end, the most honest answer to the question of why the COVID-19 virus is killing thousands of people, why infectious diseases ravage humanity, and why there is suffering at all, is we don't know. For me, this is the most honest and accurate answer. One could also suggest how viruses are part of the natural world and in some way contribute to life, But this approach fails abjectly when speaking to someone who has lost a friend or loved one. An important question for the believer in times of suffering is this: can you believe in a God that you don't understand? But if the mystery of suffering is unanswerable, where can the believer go in times like this? For the Christian, and perhaps even for others, the answer is Jesus. Christians believe that Jesus is fully divine and fully human. Yet we sometimes overlook the second part. Jesus of Nazareth was born into a world of illness. In her book Stone and Dung, Oil and Spit, about the daily life of first century Galilee, Jody Magnus, a scholar of early Judaism, calls the period in which Jesus lived filthy, malodorous, and unhealthy. John Dominic Crossan and Jonathan Reed, scholars of the historical background of Jesus, sum up these conditions in a sobering sentence in Excavating Jesus. They say, "A case of the flu, a bad cold, or an abscessed tooth could kill." This was Jesus' world. Moreover, in his public ministry, Jesus continually sought out those who were sick. Most of his miracles were healings from illnesses and disabilities, debilitating skin conditions under the rubric of leprosy, epilepsy, a woman's flow of blood, a withered hand, dropsy, blindness, deafness, paralysis. In these frightening times, Christians may find comfort in knowing that when they pray to Jesus, they are praying to someone who understands them not only because he is divine and knows all things, but because he is human and experienced all things. But those who are not Christian can also see him as a model for care of the sick. Needless to say, when caring for someone with coronavirus, one should take the necessary precautions in order not to pass on the infection. But for Jesus, the sick or dying person was not the other, not someone to be blamed, but our brother and sister. When Jesus saw a person in need, the Gospels tell us that his heart was moved with pity. He is a model for how we are to care during this crisis, with hearts moved by pity. Whenever I prayed in a church, I would pause before a statue of Jesus, his arms outstretched, his heart exposed. Just a plaster statue. It wasn't great art, but it was meaningful to me. I don't understand why people are dying, but I can follow the person who gives me a pattern for life. Well, as I said earlier, if we take a step back, we can sometimes get a bit of perspective. And at this point, I think it would be good to have a laugh. So here is this episode's movie quote.
This episode's movie quote.
This episode's movie's quits.
Quote.
Quote.
Say quote.
Quote.
Okay, try it again.
This episode movie's quote.
In 1991, Kevin Costner and Morgan Freeman starred in the blockbuster Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. In this scene, Robin of Locksley encounters a young boy being chased by Nottingham soldiers. His Muslim friend Azim, who has vowed to return the favor of saving Robin's life, is busy praying when the latter comes under attack from six soldiers for defending the boy. Well, after he beats them all up, defeats them all, and sends them packing, along with the Sheriff of Nottingham, he then walks over to Azim and takes issue for him for not helping out. And Azim has this brilliant come back.
You. You traveled 10,000 miles to save my life and leave me to be butchered?
I fulfill my vows when I choose.
Which does not include prayer times or meal times or any time I'm outnumbered 6-1.
You whine like a mule. You are still alive.
You whine like a mule. You are still alive. Well, that's it for this edition of the podcast. Thanks for listening in. And don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'd really love to hear from you. And for more insights on the band and this project, we recommend you go straight to the source, ryancalder.co.za, where you can find all our details. Until next time, remember that you are not alone, and keep pondering the great deep.